97.9 FM WCHL Championship Sports presents The Grid. WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show. Join WCHL as we preview all the area games and the storylines you care about. All season long, The Grid is your home for all your area schools, including the Carrboro Jaguars, the East Chapel Hill Wildcats, the Chapel Hill Tigers, and all the surrounding area schools from Orange and Chatham counties. The Grid, WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show, starts now.
Hello, and welcome to The Grid with Matt and Matt. Thanks for joining myself, Matt Paul, and Matt Oakes each week as we review the games, make our picks, reveal our WCHLChapelboro.com Super 6, and select our Grid Great of the Week. I hand it off to my co-host, Matt Oakes.
Well, thank you, Matt. Happy to be here tonight. We've got a full slate of games. Let's do a quick scoreboard recap of last week's action.
That sounds good.
It's a big week this week, Matt. Wow, playoff time. That's always exciting.
Very exciting.
But first, let's take a quick look back at how the teams got here. Well, last week, Orange was going for their undefeated season, but no dice. Orange fell to Southern Durham 55-41. What happened to that Vaughan defense?
5 decades, too, of waiting for that perfect regular season.
Yeah, that was it. And, you know, Coach Moser was actually talking about the last time they sat in this position. It was Southern Durham again that victimized them. So, unfortunately for them, Kendall Hinton of Southern Durham passed for 452 yards, 5 touchdowns, ran for 128 yards, and another score. So that did him in.
He'd be the player of our area, but he's not in our area.
So. Yeah.
All right, second game, it was even worse for Northwood. Routed 55-14 at Cardinal Gibbons, spoiling the Chargers' chance for a home playoff opener. Bill Hall had wanted that, but ain't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. Gibbons quarterback Sean Stankavage passed for 7 touchdowns and ran for another score. Maybe he would have been the player. Who knows?
Yeah, our teams are getting eaten alive, but, Matt, the news was better for Chapel Hill right around here, which earned the area's third playoff berth. They held off a gritty Cedar Ridge team, 30-28 at home. Brandon Wendell had 2 runs of 10, 3, and 3 yards. And Ricky McDowell opened the scoring with a 17-yard dash of his own. So that was a nice win heading into the postseason.
Points, didn't they?
Exactly.
In other action, East Chapel Hill capped its season with a 14-7 win. Woke up a little bit toward the end there over Durham Jordan. And Carrboro ended a very disappointing season with a 49-6 loss to Reidsville. The Jaguars started the season 3-0, state title runner-ups. Matt, we've been over and over and over again.
Kind of sad what happened down there.
Oof. Yeah. Tough.
Matt, it's time to announce our Grid Grade of the Week. It was tough selection, but who did we go with this week?
We're going to go with Brandon Wendell of Chapel Hill for those 2 important touchdown runs. Excellent performance.
Good job, Brandon. Congratulations.
Ooh. It's time for our first commercial break, but when we come back, we'll get to chat with head coach Pat Moser down at Orange High School.
Will his team be able to respond from the thrashing they took at Southern Durham last week? They welcome Rocky Mount to Hillsboro this weekend. Come on back and hang out with us on The Grid with Mount and Matt. Welcome back to The Grid with Matt and Matt. I'm Matt Oakes. We're glad to have you this evening. Undefeated no more, but the Orange Crush still have designs on a deep playoff run. Tonight, they play Rocky Mount. I got a chance to sit down and chat with head coach Pat Moser. Let's hear what he has to say. So, Coach, last week, 41-55 loss to Southern Durham, snapped that unbeaten streak. What happened out there?
Well, we just ran into a real good football team. I think, you know, we expected it. Everybody knew that it was going to be a tough game. It's hard to match up with Southern Durham. They have so much speed, and they've got a great quarterback in the Hinton kid, and I think he's, at least I've been told, he's going to Duke, and he'll do well there because he can play. He's a really good player. We had a hard time putting pressure on him, which we wanted to do. Their offensive line gets credit for that, for protecting him. Then their receivers were able to burn us deep often. You know, they scored 55 points, so that's obvious. But we still had our chances. We were able to cut the lead to 7 in the fourth quarter, but they just turned around and scored again and pulled back 14 points ahead. We just couldn't stop them. That's the name of the game.
Coach, the atmosphere around the locker room after the game, how, you know, upset were the players? You know, what was the atmosphere like?
Well, I thought it was still healthy. You know, our kids knew that we had our chances. We made some mistakes. We had a couple of fumbles. We had an interception. You know, we, as a staff, we talked about it. We thought we needed to win the turnover battle, and we didn't. We thought we were going to have to, you know, beat them in special teams, which it was fairly even in the special teams yardage. But it just came down to us covering their receivers deep. We just didn't do a good job of it. You know, looking at the playoff brackets, if we can stay in long enough, we'll get to play them again in the third round. And that's kind of what, you know, we told our players after the games that, you know, guys, you know, keep your heads up. Let's try to get them again, and maybe we can make some changes on what we planned to do during the game. We'll do something different, and maybe it'll be a different outcome.
So it sounds like the team really has responded well, and, you know, just how has practice been going this week, and are they fired up and what ready for the first round?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because we lost that game, we dropped from, you know, possibly a number one seed to number six. So our first round matchup is a tough one against a very good Rocky Mountain team. And, you know, our kids know that from here on out, we have to play well. And that's, you know, we've had a good week of practice, and I think that's what we'll do. We'll, you know, certainly – it will be interesting to me as well to see how we respond to our first loss, but I think our kids are ready.
In a way, do you think the pressure may be off the players now that they have that loss? You know, the undefeated season's gone, and now they can just really exhale a little bit and just play hard?
Well, you know, I would hope so. We weren't trying to put any pressure on those on the players about being undefeated or not. We've already accomplished a whole lot this season, and for us to end up with a 10-1 record, I mean, what really more can you ask of a group of young men? We've played really well, and we've had a great season. But you know, our kids know it's not over, and they don't want to stop. They want to keep playing every week, so that's our motivation. And you know, hopefully, we will play well.
Looking at Rocky Mount, what did they do so well when you're looking at film that could really threaten your team?
Well, they have a two quarterback system that we see on film, and they're both pretty good players. One of them is more of a runner than the other. One of their quarterbacks seems to be a real smart field general type of quarterback. One throws a little better than the other, so they mix that up. They have good running back. They have a good line. They've got a big line on offense and defense, and that is a little bit of a concern for us. They also have a lot of team speed. They get to the ball. The defense plays good defense. They're going to be hard to score on, because they're so quick and getting to the ball, and they hit hard when they get there. So, you know, we understand that our defense is going to have to bounce back after giving up 55 points to Southern Durham. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how our defense responds to their offense.
Okay, when we return to the grid with Matt and Matt, I, Matt Paul, interviewed Northwood coach Bill Hall, and Matt Oakes sits down with Chapel Hill's Isaac Marsh. we'll find about both teams' preparation for tonight's playoff games. Okay, it's time for my interview, Matt Paul, with Northwood coach Bill Hall as his team travels to Eastern Alamance for a first-round playoff clash.
Okay, coach, first up, what happened versus Cardinal Gibbons? Obviously a big loss there.
What happened? Cardinal Gibbons and Stan Cavage played exceptionally well. We moved the ball on them all night for the most part, but we got down to the red zone inside their 30 and had some hiccups. Defensively, we didn't do a whole lot right. You know, we put a little pressure on Stan Cavage, but that was about it, not near enough. And, you know, he exposed one of our weaknesses that we've had all year in our secondary, and it ended up being a very long night. But, you know, all the credit goes to them. They came in with a great game plan, and they executed very well, and they did a very nice job.
And you knew they were capable of doing something like that, too, or at least playing very, very well.
Well, yeah, I did. I knew they'd put some points on the board. I mean, I didn't think they'd put 54 on there, and I honestly didn't think they'd hold us to 14. But, you know, a lot of that was self-inflicted wounds with our offense, drop passes and stuff like that. And, you know, we're resilient. I mean, we've had great practices all week. Our Monday practice was probably our best practice of the year. So, you know, we're resilient, and you know, we look forward to the challenge we got ahead of us this Friday night.
I was going to ask, how do you fix that? But I guess it's just good practices and
positive. Yeah, I mean, we kept everything positive, upbeat. We talked to them. We had practice 9 o'clock Monday morning due to the holiday. And, you know, we talked to them first thing. You know, we talked about some of the things we did wrong Friday night, but we talked about the positives as well and talked about, you know, what we were going to do with upbeat practices this week, and so far, so good.
And the big win was more them, or was it you guys playing down?
Oh, no, you got to give credit to Gibbons. They played very well.
Your philosophy, a big loss, still just a loss at the end of the day, whether it's 54-53 or 54-14? Or who cares?
really didn't care. You know, after the loss, when we got back and we looked at the film, we really did some good things, you know, especially offensively. It just came down to the fact that you know, we were not able to score points. And honestly, if it had been a closer game, we probably would have got the ball in Kadarius's hands about 30 times because they had no answer for him running the football. And
that does force you to pass, doesn't it?
Right. We did throw the ball a lot more than we would have in that situation because he still had 100, you know, close to 200 yards. And so, you know, that's a positive, but we got to find a way to finish drives.
And you said you've done some good things. That's been true for the whole season. I mean, let's take a look here. 8-3?
8-3, yes, sir.
Made the playoffs. Take a step for a second before your game tonight, Friday, in fact, and talk about making the playoffs and having such a good regular season.
Well, I would have liked to have finished the regular season on a better note. But when you look at this 3A conference, and we said this at the beginning of the year, this is probably one of the best 3A conferences in the state.
Powerhouse.
There's five teams right now playing really good ball. Southern, Durham, what can you say about them? And the way we played Southern, you know, putting 54 points up on the board and not winning that ball game. You know, Orange and Gibbons are, you know, you look at this playoff picture, and those three teams could be playing a long time in the big 3A. And Chapel Hill is as good as anybody right
Sneaky.
Now. And you know, I hope I'm glad I'm not in Southern Durham's shoes having to play Chapel Hill first round. I mean, you know, you've seen them once, and it was a blowout. But Chapel Hill's not the same team they were a few weeks ago. And so that's going to be a heck of a ball game, I believe. And then, you know, those four in the big 3A, we're in the small 3A. And, you know, I think if we get our stuff together, we've got a chance to make some noise. And we'll see what happens.
In order to do so, though, you need to beat Eastern Alamance Friday. What do you know about them? You've had a couple of days to look at that.
You know, Eastern Alamance is and us mirror each other, and that goes back.
And not just with the 8-3 records.
Right. I mean, that goes back. We're my coaching staff and John Kirby's coaching staff, we all see each other at clinics. We sit together. We hang out together. They're good friends of ours.
And so when we saw the seeding, I mean, you know, John and I called each other Saturday afternoon. We talked on the phone about 30 minutes, just more than anything, catching up. And then we finally talked a little football. So this is going to be it's going to be a fun game, a good game, and I expect it to be a very competitive game. They're a very good football team, a two-quarterback system, one running quarterback, one more of a throwing quarterback. Defensively, you know, they thrive to not give up the big play, so it's going to be an interesting night.
Finally, any injuries or anything to report on your end? Usual banged up stuff, but nothing serious?
Yeah, you know, I would expect to see this. When you see that defense that we're going to put on the field Friday night, you know, you're going to need a new roster because there's some of these JV kids that we brought up for the playoffs have done some very good things. And, you know, it's we're about tired of watching what we've seen defensively in the secondary and outside linebackers and stuff like that. So we're going to give some of these kids a shot. And, you know, they've looked really good in practice, so we're going to see how it goes.
They'll be hungry and fresh too, huh?
Yes, they will.
The Chapel Hill Tigers have battled hard all season long, and they've been rewarded with a playoff berth. Coach Isaac Marsh's boys will be traveling over to Southern Durham to face the 9-2 Spartans. Here's Coach Marsh. So last week it was a thrilling contest. Got that two-point win over Cedar Ridge. How big of a boost was that for your team to finally win one of those tight games?
I thought it was great motivation, and you know, at the end of the day, especially for our seniors, when I could see the smiles on their faces when we went back to the locker room and the people hanging out, you know, it was a joyous occasion, you know. So I'm definitely proud of our guys, and it felt good to finally break through in that win column.
Were you a little bit surprised? What were your expectations? Did you figure you had a shot of getting a bid to the tourney, or what was the mindset of the team when they found out that they did make it into the state tournament?
Well, the thing that we stressed all week, and Coach Bradley was the main, you know, driving force to it. Guys, you know, Coach Bradley just kept saying, you know, we still got a shot of getting in. He was like, there has been teams to get in with four wins, and we could very well be one of those teams based upon, you know, our numbers and how everything, who goes where. So he was one of the forces that, you know, always, you know, had a high hope and strong feeling towards, you know, we're going to make the field. And it was just one, you know, I have encountered in years past that, you know, four wins, I don't think a four win will do is just qualify you for it and everything. But when the guys found out that they were in, you know, they were ready. They're ready for that next step. So they're excited, looking forward to having another opportunity to continue on.
With that being said, do you feel like your team this week in practice feels like they have new life and there's no pressure and they can just go out and feel loose out on the field?
Well, they you know, feel that, you know, we're in the driver's seat. We hold our own destiny in our hand. We've had, you know, two excellent days of practice. I mean, from top to bottom, the focus, the energy, that has been the driving force all year. But now it seemed like, you know, they just rejuvenated. It's like the season has started all over again back in August. And, you know, just the sheer fact of going in this game as the underdog. And, you know, they just want an opportunity. So they're very excited, and the energy level is higher than I have ever seen before.
Coach, could you give us a quick injury update? Are you getting some bodies back healthy?
Unfortunately, the injuries that we sustained through the course of the season, those were season-ending injuries. So we're not really getting too many guys back. Actually, we did receive Luke Christie. Luke Christie came back senior night. That was his first game since the opening season game versus Riverside, where he tore his ACL. And Friday night was the first game back. He was fully in full uniform. He played. He was out there having fun. So we did receive Luke Christie. Luke Christie is back, but as far as the other injuries that we sustained, those guys, they're pretty much done for this, you know, the year.
Coach, looking at Southern Durham, obviously they had a gigantic win against Orange last week. What do they do so well on offense?
Offense, they have, you know, one thing. They have, well, several things. One intangible that you just cannot coach is speed. You either have it or you don't. Mm. And so that's one factor that they have. And they have a quarterback that is, I haven't seen a quarterback or we haven't faced a quarterback to his caliber. This young man, Kendall Hinton, he is probably the best quarterback we have faced in years. Mm. I mean, he brings a dimension to the game that you just can't coach. A kid like that, he has all the tools. So, our main focus is, you know, to contain him as well as their running back, William Cameron. So they have several different offensive weapons that they could go to. And our focus is just, you know, let's be in position. If we're in position, then we're able to make a play. If we're out of position, then our opponent will be able to make the play. So we definitely are, you know, our focus is make sure that we're in position this week.
Okay, when we return to the grid with Matt and Matt, we'll preview and predict this week's playoff games. So stick around for our favorite part of the show.
Welcome back to the grid with Matt and Matt. It's the playoff special. So here we go. We're going to preview the games. We're going to pick them. Exciting stuff. First up, Rocky Mount at Orange. The Crush was exposed offensively once this season in a 6-0 win over Chapel Hill, and once defensively, Matt. Right. Last week, the 55 points they gave up to Southern Durham. Very uncharacteristic.
Indeed.
However, I'm thinking they're going to bounce back. They're angry. No pressure now. The weight's off their shoulders. They did lose. And Orange will crush Rocky Mount.
The Griffons, never mind, who come in at 8-3 off a 28-7 win over Northern Nash. The question is, what the heck is a Griffon? Answer, among other things, is an asteroid. But you know what? That asteroid is coming down.
Explosion. Yes. Explosion. Yeah. Boom.
Second game, Northwood at East Alamance. Matt Oaks was right. Northwood would fall to Gibbons, though a rout was probably not expected, right, Matt?
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, Malcolm Summers had two rushing touchdowns in the 35-13 regular season finale win over Northeast Guilford. They were 6-2 in conference play, though that conference, Mid-State 3A, can't compare to the Carolina 8, in my opinion. I'm going with Northwood. Even though they're on the road, they got to bounce back.
Whew, this is a tough one. This is very tough. But I'm going to have to go with the Chargers. I am going to agree with you. I'm going to stick with them, and I think they've got a good chance to pull out the victory.
Good stuff.
And the final game, Chapel Hill, squeaked in there. No one saw it coming, but they did compete so well, and it's almost deserving, I think, that they're in here. They're at Southern Durham. They don't have a signature win on their slate yet. But could it happen tonight, despite close losses to Orange and Northwood and a competitive tilt with Cardinal Gibbons? But will they have enough firepower to stay with Southern, who just, it's a track meet over there.
Oh,
it really
unbelievable,
is.
Unbelievable, that offense.
So I'm going to have to pick Southern Durham, but hopefully it's a great contest.
Boy, I've actually been going back and forth on this one a little bit. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to say Chapel Hill.
Woo!
Whether it's a close game or like a 6-0, or if it's 48-45, I think they can go either way, believe it or not. And I think they're going to pull an upset off like you wouldn't believe.
Matt. We will see. We will see. That's it
they're
for us today. And we'll see you next time on The Grid with Matt and Matt.